Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, coming up at 11:30 today, Fianna Fáil's Barry Cowan joins us after he compared extending the eviction ban to giving free sweets to children. Also in the next hour, crisis in France as the row over increasing the pension age results in protests and violence. And we know how to work, but do we know how to navigate a career? Sinead Brady on her new book, Total Reset. Now though, from growing up in County Fermanagh, where she started her engineering career by dismantling farm machinery, to then going on to work with some of Formula One's biggest teams as an engineer and race strategist, Bernie Collins already has an illustrious CV. But now, Bernie is part of Sky Sports' Formula One coverage this season, and I'm delighted to say that Bernie joins me on the line now. Good morning and welcome, Bernie.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Lovely to talk to you. Will we go right back to dismantling the farm machinery?
Yeah, maybe. So, it's worth pointing out that I didn't, like, my parents didn't actually have a farm, but both of my grandparents did. So yes, there was a lot of that going on.
So what was that? That was your first interest in engineering, was it? Just finding out how things work?
Yeah, I think when I look back, I was always really curious at, like, how things worked or how they went together, or probably most annoyingly, how they came apart. And I think at the time, maybe I didn't really realise, you know, link that to engineering. But looking back on it now, there was definitely a lot of that going on.
But then as you went through your education, did your love of maths and physics shine through?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, when you got to the point in school that you're trying to make decisions about subjects or what you enjoy, then yeah, it was definitely all like the math and physics related, or like design and technology. And then I just kept going along those subject lines, so choosing things that I thought, you know, would link into them, which is where the engineering came in when I got to university stage.
Yeah, and I saw that you said that it's sometimes not clear for students as they're going through school,
yeah,
that maths and physics can lead you to this career. That's not always obvious,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, when I think back to being, you know, 15 or 16 at school, you're making such a huge decision. It seems like such a long way away, you know, your career or what you're doing in the future type thing. So, yeah, I just kept choosing subjects that I enjoyed and hoped that if I kept enjoying the subjects, I would enjoy the work I did at the end.
So how then did motorsport emerge for you as something you were particularly interested in?
So that really, it came quite late. A lot of people, I get like a lot of communication from people that know they want to do motorsport, or know they want to work in F1, whatever. But I sort of decided I wanted to do engineering because it was just more math and physics. And then after that, midway through it, we did a thing called Formula Student, where all of the people doing mechanical engineering degrees design a little single-seater race car. And that was the point. And that was like 3 years through my degree that I really started to think that maybe motorsport was an option, or maybe automotive was an option.
Mm-hmm. And you really enjoyed the roles then on the team when you got to get some experience or your trainee work with McLaren, isn't that right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think for me, the motorsport thing was like a good mix of theoretical and hands-on experience. So you weren't just all day at a desk, you know, doing math, or you weren't just all day building stuff. It was like a mix of both. And the McLaren thing gave me a really good opportunity to try loads of different roles within the team as sort of a graduate scheme. So it wasn't just you accepted like a job for life. It was, let's try lots of different jobs and see what you might be suited to.
That must have been like winning the career lottery, was it? Getting access to the McLaren Racing graduate programme.
I think it was one of those really bizarre things where we applied when we were at uni and we were encouraged to apply by our lecturer, which was really great. And then you sort of went along to the various stages of the interview going, well, at least I've got to see around McLaren, or, you know, at least I've got to meet some interesting people, but not really ever believing that you could be there. So, yeah, when you got the call to say that you actually got the position, it was sort of like, wow, this is really happening.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time when you were going there, it was sort of went with that sort of, this is really bizarre, interesting.
And were you one of the very few women involved in the industry at that level?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's got better and better over the years. But even when I was at uni in my degree, there weren't that many females or girls involved. I think engineering's you know, was at that time very poor. It's improved year on year. And when you think of the design office at McLaren, yeah, there were very few females. Even when I think, you know, my final role at Aston Martin, when you sit like in the boardroom pre-race and there's sort of 30 of you sat around discussing what's going to happen over the race team, there's sort of like one or two maybe girls in that room. So yeah, it's a poor representation, but they are getting much, much better at it.
Did you feel treated any differently because you were female?
Not really, no. And I think, you know, I don't think I was ever hindered in the opportunities that I was given as a female. I think in many ways, which is potentially controversial view, I think it helped some aspects. When I spoke on the pit wall on the radio as a Northern Irish female, like my voice stood out on the background of male voices. So
yeah,
it was always really clear when I was speaking, it was really clear that, you know, who it came from. So there was definite advantages to it as well. I you know, for me personally, there was nothing that I felt held me back in that role.
So just for those of us who are coming anew to what a Formula One strategist and performance engineer is, I read an article that described you with the headphones on and you've got a direct line to the driver mid-race. It all sounds very exciting, but talk us through what you do in that role.
Yeah, so as you know, my final role with Aston was head of race strategy, and that role is all about making decisions through the race in order to get the best finishing position. So for each team, you've got two drivers, so you're always looking at decisions for two cars. You're taking in lots of information, so there's lots of information coming from the drivers themselves, from all of the sensors on the car, from various engineers that are concerned with various specifics of the car, so someone might be looking at tyres or whatever. So you're getting lots of information in, and you're trying to make a decision about when you do the pit stop and what tyres you fit at that pit stop in order to get the best finishing position. So a lot of like pre-race is planning or doing models in order to decide what you think the quickest race will be. But then in the race, it's a lot of reacting to what's going on around you, a lot of like quick decisions on the pit wall. And yeah, it's really exciting. It's really interesting. There's a lot of pressure, but I think over time you get used to dealing with that.
Mm-hmm. And you must have to develop a relationship of trust with that driver.
Yeah, with the whole team, really. Like, we do a lot of analysis afterwards because, you know, inevitably some decisions prove to be incorrect at the end of the race. So you go through why you made the decisions and what information you have. And it is like this working relationship very closely with the driver, with the other engineers on the pit wall, such that they... You know, sometimes you make a decision literally seconds before they need to act on it. You're telling them to pay. And they need to trust that that's definitely the right decision in that time and just follow the direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a really interesting relationship that you end up with.
But that part of the job, Bernie, when you've the headphones on and you're doing that, that's a very small part of the job, I would imagine, is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, like that's the bit that people see, because that's the like 2 hours of the race on Sunday or the practice sessions beforehand. But a lot of what makes you good at the job is the prep that you do in advance or the analysis that you do afterwards in order to try and improve. Like, we had a race in 2020 where we actually won the race. It was the only win I've had as a strategist. But a lot of why we won that race was the preparation that we'd done before, and that preparation made the decision that we made during the race really easy because we knew exactly what we should do in that type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is the analysis on a laptop beforehand, trying to understand what you think may happen.
And look, when it comes to climate change, Formula One is in a fairly sticky position here because they're criticised for taking this travelling show all over the world and the emissions that result in that. But then you have the roaring engines, fossil fuel engines. What is happening in the industry, and are attitudes changing when it comes to their responsibility around emissions and environmental concerns?
Yeah, I think so. I think when I think of the time that I've been at the tracker in F1, it's come a long way. It's definitely growing in terms of sometimes the people that we have at the track, but they're doing a lot more in terms of just very simple things at the track and reducing waste, recycling more, you know, any of the food that we have left over goes to local communities, those sorts of initiatives that are happening. And I think one of the things with F1 or all motorsport is you can look at it as – you know, a motorsport that doesn't really bring value. But F1 over time has brought a lot of the new developments that we have in all our cars every day. You know, carbon fibre is a big one, a lot of new materials, a lot of new processes that have made our cars more efficient. We've got a lot of the hybrid technology now in order to sort of promote the renewables. But I think one of the things that I'm most excited about personally coming out of F1 is having sustainable fuel, so not fuel that's built with fossil fuels. And I think if we can progress that as an industry, as a sport, then potentially you don't have a big swing in what car you have on the road, but you've just dramatically changed the fuel you put into it, which would be the most efficient solution for everyone involved, because you wouldn't end up, you know, producing all the batteries and things. So I think that using, you end up with a lot of very bright engineers working on the sport. And if you can use that and develop that energy for the greater good, then that's the way we need to be using F1. Yeah, we need to be encouraging that.
That might be a difficult one to convince the diehard fans of the roar of the fossil fuel engine to take. But that's, I mean, everybody is moving in that direction. But I want to ask you now about this decision to become the face of the Sky Sports coverage. It's a very exciting development, but it's a big change for you, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's a massive change. It's one of the things, you know, I've done strategy. I've been at the racetrack for every race in a team role since 2014. So it was just sort of time for change. The race calendar is quite hectic. So I just wanted to try a new challenge. And I think I've always been really keen on learning new things. And the Sky, although still in the same industry, is bringing me loads of new challenges, you know, a lot more into the media industry or how the shows are produced or and the topics I come up with. So it's been a really interesting learning curve for me. And, you know, I go and I sit in a meeting now discussing a production for a show, and I really have no idea what a lot of the conversation has been talked about. So I feel like I'm learning a lot, and that's really exciting.
But you already have the communication skills, don't you? Because you have to be very clear and precise when you're communicating with your driver, as we just discussed. It's, some of those skills must be transferable.
Oh, yeah. I think, like, I'm bringing a different knowledge to what the people who are really good at, the, you know, the presenter and the producer are. So if we can merge the two knowledges together, it'll be a really great team. I've got, like, some of the technical background and, like you said, the communication or the understanding of, like, the strategy during a race. And they've got, like, this media background and what goes into producing a good show or what the fans are interested in. So it's trying to merge those two things together and use some of my skills that I previously had. You know, it's very different trait to be fit to. I've spent a lot of my life being an engineer and saying things calmly on the pit wall such that everyone can understand or in a very mathematical way, and now you're trying to say things in a much more interesting way in a much more simple way.
And tell me, the teams and the driver drivers, do they see you as the enemy, Bernie?
Well, it's interesting being in Saudi last weekend and sort of walking around, and it was a bit like first day back at school where you were like catching up with a lot of old friends. And because you've travelled together for so long, even with, you know, people may not realise, but even with the rival teams, you know quite a lot of the people in it because you've seen them on flights or you've seen them in, you know, airports or whatever. So it was really nice to sort of be fit to say hello to people again. And yeah, I don't think people necessarily see that me as an enemy, but I think people are definitely being more selective.
Yes, a little bit more cautious. Bernie, it was great to talk to you, and the best of luck with this new iteration of your career. That's Bernie Collins there. We'll take a quick break before news.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.